Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your host, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to come to you with another one of these Business of Digital podcasts. And today what we're going to be talking about is Instagram metrics. And so before we really jump into it, let's say hello to Dave. Hey Dave.
Hello. Small child is making noise.
Hey, it's all good. People listen to us not for how perfect this podcast is, but for the information we share, right?
Yes.
All right, so what I wanted to do, I'll just go ahead and jump into it, because I was telling Dave, I received an email, just a random, you know, cold call type spam from, you know, for those of you that don't know the other part of me, my other identity besides online marketing, is I do a lot of photography. I have a Instagram, I don't know if you'd call it following, but I have an Instagram account that, you know, it's under Siltala Photo. For anybody here that listens that wants to go and check out what I believe is some amazing photography, is, you know, go check out Siltala Photo. But, you know, the whole thing that got me on this topic was I got this random email, and, you know, the title was, "Read this to skyrocket your Instagram growth." And I'm like, okay, well, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be another one of those. But I'll read it to you because it's funny and stuff like that. But I also was talking to Dave about this, and I was like, well, let's actually do a session that gives people some ideas of what are the real metrics that you should look for. Because, you know, like one of the things I was telling Dave, I think a lot of times people get caught up in numbers of you know, like, I gotta have hundreds of thousands of followers, or I gotta be in, you know, a million, I need millions of followers to be an influencer and this and that, and, you know, like, or I shouldn't work with him or reach out to him, you know, he's not an influencer because he doesn't have hundreds of thousands or millions. But it's absolutely wrong. Like, you could be an influencer and only have 1,000 followers, okay? Because it's, all right, you may have someone that has a million followers or hundreds of thousands, but they get, you know, again, I don't know whether it's all bought or what it is, but if you don't have any kind of engagement, or if you're not connecting with your followers and things like that, and you don't have any kind of like that community built up, then you're, you know, I'm gonna want the person that has 1,000 followers that will actually go out and do what they say and will buy stuff from them, versus, you know, someone with more or bot influence. Anyway, we'll get into all that in a second. But this letter I got was really funny. So it's all, "I think your Instagram profile has much growth potential. Having 163 likes on average and 856 followers is quite something." You know, it's funny because this is just my like side thing. I haven't even tried to grow this account. This is just something that I do and I love. And, you know, it's really, I've had so many people say, "Hey, you know, where can we find your photography?" And so I actually just threw it up there just so I could have that for people. But anyway, it's all because of that, I messaged you to give you some tactics. To start, here are a few initial tips for your account. Be sure your uploads have similar topic. This means you should aim to post similar type of pictures that match your account. It also means that your uploads should be in your theme. First of all, I don't even know what that means. It also means that your uploads should be in your theme. But first of all, I do lots of photography. Obviously, I do a lot of astrophotography.
You need to have stars. I saw a picture without stars in it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
see right there. It's it only has 77. It was Duluth. It was a picture of Duluth. It was very lovely Duluth, but there's no stars. That has to be the one.
That has to be it. But see, that's the point. What's funny is that one, and there was one in Duluth and it had no stars, but it was a post of a waterfall, and I've had, you know, lightning shots or Milky Way shots that have gotten 600, 700, almost 1,000 likes. And I haven't had anybody ask me about buying them. But those ones, like you just mentioned, there was one that only got like 50 or 60 likes. that I had probably 10 people ask me if they could buy a print from me. It was one of the waterfall one that was kind of red. I called it, you know, the Red Wedding Waterfall.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And so that's why, like, this information he's given is garbage. But it's like, you know, as an example, if you have a dog theme account, your follower expects upload of dogs and not your breakfast dish. I suppose that is clear for you. Thank you, Miss. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I would post pictures of cats just to throw people off. And birds, like every Monday, just post a different photo of a different animal. But that would actually throw people off, and yeah. They would actually be curious to see what you're going to post on Monday. That's not normal.
That's true, actually, and that's a great tactic right there. That's something that you could do.
I totally debunked whatever they just rambled about.
And now here's another one. It's like, additionally, you should tag your uploads with 5 to 20 relevant hashtags. Well, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do a lot of hashtags on mine, but I typically try to find the ones that are related to that.
23 hashtags on your London Eye photo. Fail.
Yep. Another fail right there for me.
You're not a good listener.
But the max is 30. I hate people that give, like, you know what? There's some that there's only 10 relevant ones, and that's all I'll do. Okay. If you start doing, just you start throwing out random hashtags out there, people, you're just going to get those, you know, followers, I'll get you followers, or follow me for this, or, you know, those spam auto. Anyway, you don't want that, guys.
Well, on the flip side of that, because there's always an exception, a Baltimore-born but LA-based rapper, kind of singer, comedian guy I follow named Wax. He, before they took away tags on YouTube, it used to be a game and it used to be fun to see what he would put in the hashtags his YouTube, because he would literally spell out a story or just say like an extra line or verse almost to whatever the song was in his hashtags.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like we just said there's two rules, and then we explained how we could break them.
Yeah. Well, and that's fun. And I do that as well. Like, you know, I have fun with it sometimes if it's, you know, again, I'll do that same thing, you know, and it'll be a hashtag that nobody uses, but it's something that is funny that people would probably laugh at. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen that, and people, like, where you get tons of comments, they're like, I love the hashtags, or your hashtag made me LOL, or whatever. You're getting that engagement. But anyway, so then the thing that gets me is you go through all this, obviously it's to pitch his tool. And so, you know, he says, hey, you could go here and do this, you know, effortlessly, which that's not true, guys. Okay. Anyway, like, what else is here? I don't know that I really want to get into any more of what he goes into, but there isn't any risk for me. I can cancel at any time, he says. But let's jump into some of the metrics that actually count. Okay, Dave? So, we got followers. Okay? And again, I'm just going to go through these, and then you can jump in and help me out here. But followers, engagement, likes, you know, loves, whatever, things like... what I pay attention to as well, one of the things is I'll actually use Instagram stories, Dave, and I'll put like pictures up against each other, and I'll be like, hey, you know, do you prefer sunset shots or Milky Way shots, or do you like this or that? And I pay attention to that because I'll get more people viewing my Instagram story. You know, I may have a post that only gets like 50 or 60 likes, but I'll have 300-400 people watch that video. And so, again, like, it's a great, you know, I don't know if people are just watching the videos and, like, you know, the way that the algorithm works and not showing you, like, the first, and they miss things or whatever.
Lack of an algorithm working, perhaps.
Yeah, lack, exactly. But my point is, you know, like, I can use that to figure out what people actually really like better on my side. I also, you know, use it to gauge, hey, are you sick of these type of pictures? I really, you know, I went to Fiji for 2 weeks and I took, you know, 3,000 pictures of the Milky Way. I have pictures that I forgot about that I haven't even edited, that I haven't even posted yet from that trip. And so, you know, I've posted out there, but again, for me, it comes down to, okay, I have less than 1,000 followers, but I haven't really been trying to grow this. But out of those followers and the people that do continue to you know, it continues to grow, I have a group of people, probably around 200 or 300, that have followed me for a long time, that are in the industry, that are good friends, that have loved my photography for a long time. And a lot of those times when I post pictures, those are the people that are like reaching out and, hey, where can I get a print of this? Or I bought one of your prints, you know, I bought a file and I want to print one out for my, you know, it's Christmas coming up or whatever. So I, you know, again, I don't have a huge following, but I have the right kind of followers. And again, engagement. You know, it's like I said, if there's a person that only has 1,000 followers, but they're getting thousands of comments, or their engagement, there's like conversations going on with what they've talked about, then all day, every day, I'm going to take that. Okay. And obviously likes and loves and things like that, that, you know, it truly does, it does matter. But those are the things that you should focus on. Not so much someone telling you you should have a specific number of hashtags, or, you know, related or not related, or this or that or whatever. I think we've kind of debunked those rules, but those are just some of my thoughts. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Well, yeah, and I'm just looking, and roughly you have about a 10% engagement on most of your photos. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower. So it's probably about 10%. I would rather have a 10% of in a very engaged audience that's either commenting, liking, and that's not even including your stories. I'm just going by with what, right, I can see from looking at just this one profile.
And disclaimer, because I do nothing to try to promote it. It was, I just, yeah, put it out there because people wanted, yeah, exactly. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. And
so right now, basically, and sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's really like, you hit the nail on the head. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, so it, and I think I've talked about it before, but like one of the questions I got last year at a conference, the very first question I got was, well, actually, it's like the second one. I think the first one was, how often should I post? The second one was, what type of engagement number should I get? And that's kind of what we're talking about right now. I think it depends.
Yeah.
It's like, what, you know, what's good? Well, what are some others in your industry that are of similar size, of similar, you know, size as far as company,
do a little bit and of
production level? You know, if you're a small mom and pa, like, you know, little hot dog stand, you don't have the budget and the content team that McDonald's has, or Burger King, or Wendy's. You know, you're not going to be able to do that. So look at other companies your size, well, and see if, oops, sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I just was thinking, and understanding your audience. Like, for example, there's a restaurant that I follow, and they had a family emergency, and for the last several days, they've not been able to open because, I mean, they are literally a mom and pop shop, and they are the, you know, the master chefs, or whatever you call. And, you know, they've gone to their social channels to let people know that, hey, we're not here. We respect you enough to let you know that we're not here. And so if you, you know, hopefully you're going to see this post and you're going to know that we're not there, so we don't disappoint you if you come, but we're having this emergency. And the engagement that they get on that, and the community and everybody, like, hey, can I help out? And how you doing? And this and that. Like, to me, like, they understand their audience. They understand, you know, that, see, that's the kind of engagement that I want. That's the purpose of these social media channels. Like, again, like, you're letting people know what's going on, but also you're using them for, you know, it's just the community. Like, you're using it for its purpose. And those are kind of my thoughts there. I didn't really mean to cut you off on that if you got something else.
No. Well, no. And like you do, I think I've seen other people that I follow doing similar things, using the Porsche was doing something really cool. And I sometimes look at theirs, and I follow like small brands, large brands, people, influencers. I follow such a wide variety of people. A lot of times I don't check out a lot of their stuff. They recently did a cool thing where they were kind of using the question answer like type thing. And it was, they'd show you a picture and then it would ask you, it was, you know, when you get to choose one or the other, which car make is this, or which trim was this, from what year and whatever. And I'm sure they got tons of engagement, especially from those that are really fanatical about Porsches. And they could have done it with, you know, a lens for you and photographers.
Well, you made me think about something. What about those metrics that you can't really measure? For example, PhotoPills is a one of the accounts that I follow. You know, PhotoPills, it's an app, and it's great for photographers. It's probably one of my favorite, most used apps for, you know, photography, especially. You know, it does so much stuff, like, I don't even have time to get into, but what they do in their Instagram stories is they share, it'll probably be, you know, like, and I actually am using this as a case study in an upcoming presentation that I'm giving at a conference, but they'll do like 7 or 8 different images that are walking people through how to do specific things, like, oh, you want to shoot a lunar eclipse, or you want to know how to, you know, do star trails, or you want to know how to do this or that. They basically will walk you through it. And so there, I can't tell you how many times, like, I've screenshotted something from them and just used it later on, and I've shared it with someone, and then they're like, where did you get that? And I'm like, oh, it's an app that I use, PhotoPills. And they're like, oh, I need to get that. And it's a $10 app. And so, like, you know, in the app, in the world of free and 99 cent apps, $10 is a lot of money. And I would pay it all day long. And everyone I send it to, they download it as well. And so, you know, how do they gauge that as a metric with me? And so the fact is, they're just doing it, and that kind of stuff just happens just based on you being engaged and doing it. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm trying to say or not, Dave, but it's just one of those things where, I don't know, for me, it's just one of those things where it's hard to gauge that, but it still is, it's a metric. I don't know, unforeseen metric, but
yeah, and I think it all goes to, it depends on what your business goal is, and, you know, we can talk about what you should be at. Compare your followers and stuff to others. Is it even close? Take a look at your own content is what I always do, and, you know, think of it, if you've ever done a content audit for your site, you know, and you've like, we're kind of talking about that at PubCon, and I've talked about it in the past, and I think we've done a show on it. Maybe not. Perhaps we should. But just doing, you know, any sort of audit, just look at your history and say, okay, when we post on Tuesdays, nothing, no matter what we post, it doesn't do well.
Right.
But on Thursdays, no matter what we post, it does well. Okay, well, maybe we should stop posting on Tuesdays.
Well, you make a great point about, like, paying attention to that kind of stuff. So, for example, if you get, like, 1,000 times more engagement and more people commenting or sharing or using, like, your stories, for example, then maybe you ought to spend a little bit more time doing stories. And see, that's what I've kind of paid attention to lately, Dave. Like, I noticed that more people view and engage and comment and do the poll thing. You know, they're more engaged in my stories than they are in my
Snapchat ripoff?
Yeah. I mean, hey, call it whatever it is. But Snapchat ripoff. There's actual more engagement on it. You know what I'm saying? Well, Snapchat shot themselves in the foot, but that's another topic too. But you know what I'm saying? So, like, pay attention. Yeah. Okay, if I'm getting better engagement from one area of doing something, just like what you were alluding to, then focus on that, guys.
And there was another thing I was following. I follow someone that kind of does some interesting sales stuff, and she was she's doing some sort of Instagram challenge right now. And so today, or last night or today, whenever she did it, she did a quick tutorial on how she does a certain effect on her Instagram, because she did a poll and the poll told her which way to go. And then the next day she delivered it. So,
awesome.
You know, for someone that's watching it and you're like, oh, it gives me a reason to come back tomorrow to see, is she going to do the one I want? And even if not, both of them were interesting to me.
And that's
so I actually followed her back, and she did it in stories, and she does a lot in stories.
Perfect.
But if you look at her, if you actually look at her timeline or her main Instagram, she rarely posts.
Huh. Interesting.
Like, it's very set up specifically for the very salesy stuff, but all of the personality, all of the fun is in the stories.
Gotcha.
And it makes sense, because she actually came over and she started using Instagram long after she was already on Snapchat, and that's where I found her through some other people. But it's interesting that she almost does everything in stories. And if you were to look at her account you'd be like, oh, she has a lot of followers, but there's no engagement. She doesn't post very often. Oh no, she posts like, I think today I didn't even get through them all. There was like 20 something posts like on her stories. There was like 20 or more. Crazy. So I mean, she just posts a ton on there all the time, but it's only in stories, not on Instagram. So like we were talking about, if you're looking at someone, look at their followers, just looking at that stuff really doesn't tell you a lot. Yep. Maybe on Twitter, it's a little bit, there's not that kind of hidden stories, but for Snapchat and especially for Instagram now, you can have a huge following with no people engaging on your public posts, but you get tons of people engaging with your stories and you have tons of people watching that no one has any sort of tool to look at.
So hopefully you guys have some good ideas of what to start doing a little bit better with Instagram, metrics to pay attention to. I've kind of given you all my final thoughts and that was perfect way to wrap it up, Dave. So
DJ with the hiccups in the background. Yeah.
It's all good, man. So, well, thank you guys for listening. For Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Sothel with Avalanche Media, and look forward to having you guys back on another one of these shows. Bye, guys.
Thanks.